Hi, everyone. I'm Adam Rippon, and welcome back to the podcast. Yes, welcome back to the podcast. It is great to be back. The Super Bowl happened this past weekend. The Eagles won, which is absolutely incredible for people who understand what that means. I am really happy for the Eagles. End quote. I'll say this about the Eagles. They remind me that I am from Pennsylvania. And they also remind me every once in a while that Philadelphia is a major city that has a minor presence in my life. But when it does present itself, I'm happy. I'm good with it. And that's my official stance. That's my official quote. The Eagles winning did mean that Kansas City did not win. There can't be two winners. That is a classic rule in all of sports. Can't be two winners. So what this did mean is that Travis Kelce did not win the Super Bowl. Singular. Just Travis Kelce. Everyone else won. Just not Travis Kelce. I saw a lot of people online talk about Travis Kelce's beautiful, thick, long hair. And it seemed like there was some speculation that maybe he had gone to Turkey to get a hair transplant. And some people even insinuated that this supposed time in Turkey maybe took away from his training. And that's why the Kansas City Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. I have this to say on that. And it is, I don't think that you guys were taking a good hard look at his buzz cut last year. Because I was taking a good hard look at the buzz cut from last year. And if you did take a good hard look, you'd have seen that his hair had the potential to do this the entire time. I believe that you were too quick to blame the country of Turkey for this mishap. Let's call the loss a mishap, right? You were really quick to blame the country of Turkey. I don't think that's right. Because if we do look at the calendar history of Travis Kelce, I want to take you back to 2024. And if we want to blame somebody, I think we take a good hard look at Ryan Murphy. Hey, Ryan, what was happening on the set of Grotesque? Did you take Travis's head out of the game, right? Instead of looking to an entire nation, we should be looking at a director, a creator. We should be blaming Ryan Murphy for more things. Honestly, I'm half joking and I'm also half serious. I blame Ryan Murphy for a lot. And I say, why not? Join with me. And I don't think we blame Ryan Murphy enough. It's just sort of, that is my opinion. I brought up hair transplants. It is making me think of something that I am currently watching on TV that I do want to talk about because it's important to me. And it is that I have been watching Love Island All-Stars. Now, Love Island All-Stars is interesting because it is filled with people who have been on Love Island before, but something happened. It didn't work out. Relationship over. It's time to go back to the island. And they always go back to the island and they always say, well, I had such a good, successful experience last time. That's why I want to go back up. If it was that big of a success, you wouldn't have to go back. No matter, no mind. That really doesn't matter. The only thing that does matter is that they're back. When they say All-Stars, they're not really messing around. These are the best of the best. This is exclusively the UK version of Love Island. And while I do believe the American version is great, the British version, there's something so sinister about it in a good way. And I mean that in a good way. Now, before you start watching Love Island UK, I need you to know the subtitles need to be on. There is absolutely no way around that. You will not understand a single word anybody is saying. You will need the written text. What I do love about this season of Love Island All-Stars is that everybody's a little bit older. Usually when they introduce the Islanders, it's a shocking experience. It's usually filled with like 22, 23, 24-year-olds who do look like they're in their mid-30s. That's something that you need to prepare yourself for when you're watching Love Island UK, is the absolute gut-wrenching news that somebody who you thought looked really good for 35 gets on a hot mic and goes, I just turned 19. That happens all the time. And I just want you to be prepared for that, because the first few times that I heard that, it took me out. It absolutely, I was off my feet. I was out of breath. I was not prepared for somebody who I went, wow, they look really good for 35, to boldly and proudly say they were from Liverpool and they had just turned 19. Now, I'm going to say this. The British people are not made to last. They're not built Ford tough. There are only so many vitamins and nutrients that are in beans on toast. These British people, specifically the young ones, they come in with full cheeks, big, hard lips, and a face that doesn't move. It's been frozen solid. You know, that is why I'm going, hey, 35 is looking pretty good on you. And they're going, I'm still in high school. It's a wicked ride. Which leads me to my next point, and it all kind of comes back to Turkey. Now, I believe, and this is my personal stance, that the British government needs to step in and they need to limit the amount of flights that go between London Heathrow and Istanbul International. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't know who needs to. I don't know if it's the prime minister. I don't know if it's the king. I don't know if it's the queen. We need someone to go in to these dentist's office in Turkey and go, hey, you guys, let's keep it a bit natural, because people are leaving these dental clinics looking like they have Carrera marble in their mouth. They're looking like they just got the bathroom retiled. They smile and it looks like a Toto toilet. And the worst part about all of this is that sometimes they'll just do the top. I don't know if they know that we can see the bottom. Right, you still have the bottom teeth. You know, it just looks like a bunch of dominoes in there. Which is going to lead me to my next point, because on this season of Love Island, there's a girl, her name is Elma. And when Elma did her introductions, my immediate reaction was, oh no. And I say this because I need you to hear me out. So she came into the island looking for love as an all-star. So she's been there before, all right? She comes to Love Island in braces. If I knew I was going back to Love Island, I'd march myself into the orthodontist and go, I love the work that we're doing, but we got to put a pin in it. Okay, I'm looking for love. The braces have to come off. Let's start this back up in a month. But then I really started to think about it. When I started to look around and I saw the other islanders with Elma, I went, she has something that they don't. And it's patience. Because she's patiently waiting for her own teeth. And what a lot of these islanders have is no patience, but mini veneers. And so I have to take it back. Elma is, God does give his toughest battles to his British soldiers. But truly, I think having the natural teeth is like a flex. Because it is truly so rare to see anybody that's got their original 32, that's got 28 good ones in there. You might be asking yourself, what could be more rare than having your natural teeth? And I'll say this, it's having your natural hair. And when you go on TV as a woman, I can imagine that you want the fullest, thickest, most beautiful hair that you can have. You want to look like Travis Kelce losing the Super Bowl. You want hair that thick. And so not many people can get that naturally. So what do? You get extensions. You're going to look like a supermodel, right? You're on Love Island. Now, this is where they mess up. The tape-ins look good when the hair is down. Sometimes you get a real nasty look at the tape-ins when they pull the hair back and you go, whoa, the hair can only look so good. So you have to forgive it, because that's not really what Love Island is about. It's about finding a love connection. When someone on the island does have a connection and it starts to get more serious, they talk about what life will be like when they leave. And something else I love is they always refer to it as the outside, because that's when I know they've truly reached a catatonic state. They aren't present. They aren't inside their body. They live outside of their body. And they live outside of this realm of reality. They live on Love Island. They have new passports that are not from the British government. They're from the Love Island Passport Bureau. That is where they live. That is what they breathe. That is what they do. Because at this point, they have fully adjusted to life as they know it. Their life is now, I share a bedroom with six other couples. Their life is, I have a water bottle that has my name on it. Their life is, Jason Derulo will be performing to 12 people poolside for 15 minutes and then leave. That is life. And it doesn't get more serious than that. It is only by the time they talk about life on the outside is when I know they're fully in it. Another thing that is absolutely completely unreal on Love Island are the outfits. Oh, also the worst, absolute worst thing that could ever happen to anyone is that you would be single on Love Island. There is no worse fate than that. Now, the outfits on Love Island are, again, out of this world. As I've mentioned, they've completely lost touch. And that's an important part of this experience, is that you completely lose touch. So back to the bombshells. Now, this girl, her name is Grace. She's beautiful. Got her real teeth, which, like I said, is rare. She's going on a date with this bombshell that they take her off the island and they bring her to a location where her bombshell date is waiting for her. Like I said, to be single on Love Island is the hardest and worst thing any human could go through. It's humiliating, it's demoralizing. To be absolutely certain and sure that you can attract a partner to stay on the island, which is vital, you need to dress the part. So Grace is in what basically is a napkin taped to her nipples, a miniskirt and heels, and her date is sitting there waiting for her. He's got no shirt and he's fully greased up. I'm taking in some context clues. It can't be any later in the day than 11 o'clock in the morning because behind them I see two people in hoodies and sweatpants. And again, this is how you know they are in it. And this is also how you know I am in it. But yeah, Love Island is extraordinary. Let's get to another voicemail.
Please leave your message after the tone.
I want you to talk about people not putting away their grocery carts in the parking lot. It's become a big issue, and because of it, people block spots. Everyone should do their part and put away their grocery carts in the cart corral. This is a serious issue that needs to be handled, and I think you are the right man for it.
It's a serious issue. Now, I'll say this. I do think that I'm the right man to handle it. I think that is correct. But a serious issue. I think that if you do not put your cart into the cart corral, which I've never heard it called a cart corral before, but I do love it, and I'm absolutely integrating it into the vernacular. I think that if you don't take it back to the corral, I will say it. I think you're a monster. I don't think it's acceptable ever. I don't know if I would have the guts or the gall. That is not the life for me. I'll tell you that. Now, what all of this truly does sound like to me is that it is a pet peeve of yours. When you see these carts in the parking lot, you're going, I hate that. Now, I don't have a lot to offer on the discourse of cart corrals and cart corralling, but I do have a lot to offer when it comes to pet peeves, which is making me feel like I should rattle off some pet peeves. And I want you to know that before I even begin, these are going to be obscure. They're going to be all over the place. This is just what has kind of been stewing up at the top of my brain. I really do not like it when people are drinking out of a wine glass and they're not holding it by the stem. Why do you think the glass has a stem? It's so that your grubby little paws don't get on the goblet part of the glass. I think the real reason is so that your hands don't change the temperature of the wine. But I think the fake reason for me is that I don't want to see your little sticky fingerprints all over your glass. It has a stem for you to hold it by. And so I don't like, and you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm sure she's a lovely girl. But Lily Collins in Emily in Paris, she's holding that glass like it is a cup of hot chocolate. And I really want to get over to Paris and be like, hey, Lily, hold it by the stem of the glass. I don't care that it's the cheapest white wine at Gabriel's restaurant that's across the street from your apartment in Paris, Emily in Paris. You're gonna hold that by the stem of the glass. You should know better. And she doesn't, because every time she's over there getting a glass of wine, she's holding it like this. She's holding it like it's a hot soup. It's not a hot soup. It's a glass of wine. There's a stem on the glass. There's not a stem on a bowl of hot soup, right? But there is a stem on a glass of red and white wine. And that goes for champagne too, because I see people out here drinking champagne like they're monkeys. Can we have a bit of decorum? And we can't. You know, I asked that question. Can we have a bit of just something? And we can't. We can't have it. But that is it's something I see. And I hate to single out Lily Collins because I know she's not the only one. She's not the problem, but she's not the solution either. And she could be. She's got influence. That's the whole concept of the show, Emily in Paris. She has influence. Could she at least use it for good? Also, Emily in Paris, I'm off the track of pet peeves. I think leave Gabriel alone. It's over. Tell that French man to stop following you. It's time to look into the future. The future is in Milan. Maybe you go back to Paris. But if you go back to Paris and you find yourself in that restaurant with a glass of wine, hold it by the stem. Another pet peeve, people who wear gym gloves at the gym. Now, what are you afraid of? That you're going to hurt your paws? Oh, my hands hurt when I hold this. It's really heavy. Maybe it's too heavy then. Get a grip. I'm really going to hurt my hands. Come on. And sometimes it's people who go to the gym. Like, they are gym heads. One time I read on the back of a Lululemon bag, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And that's what I have to say to people who wear gloves at the gym. What would you do if you weren't afraid? You'd get a callus and it'd be good for you. Another pet peeve, slow walkers. Ugh. I know personally, I am a fast walker, deadly fast. And I get that from my mother. And I want you to know what it was like for me growing up as a child. My mom is 5'2". Growing up, there was not a day I didn't see her in a wooden clog. And she would hustle down that street, down that sidewalk. And she was going, I don't know, on foot, 15, 20, 30 miles an hour. I have no idea. It was keep up or stay back. And that stuck with me. Now I am a fast walker. And I just can't get behind people who are slow walkers. What are you taking your time for? Did you forget something? Did you lose something? Pick up your feet. Stop shuffling your shoes down the sidewalk. Now, on that note, another pet peeve, fast drivers. Slow down. Now, sunflowers. They look like they have muscles, and I really don't like that. I think they look beautiful in a photo. Sometimes we forget that sunflowers are actually huge. They're enormous, and they look strong. And they look like eventually they will evolve into something that could take you down. And I don't like that. I really, really don't like sunflowers. And I think we could do away with them. Now, the next pet peeve, pranks. I don't like pranks. I think that they are the classic joke of the most unfunny person. And I have a theory that anyone who loves to pull a prank, you should never trust them. And I don't really think I need to elaborate on this one either. And if you like pranks, I think that's a reflection of your character, not of mine. You know, I do believe that I could go on and on and on forever. So I'll just do just a few more. I don't like barefoot shoes. I understand the idea and the theory of we're meant to walk barefoot. That's how our ancestors walked. The shoes we currently use destroy our feet. I know that, but I just don't think everyone's feet need to be that close to the ground. And if they do, I think you should do that on your own time. And the barefoot shoes that I see are always, well, you'd never know this is a barefoot shoe. Yes, you would. You would know it's a barefoot shoe. It looks like a Ziploc bag with laces. Yes, I know it's a barefoot shoe. You're not wearing a sock with it. I once saw a video of a guy who was obviously trying to sell a barefoot shoe online, saying that he put these on and he had so much stability during his workout that it completely changed his experience at the gym. You think your Nikes were that unstable? Like, you weren't in there on stilts. You weren't wearing platform shoes from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. You were in a pair of Nikes that had a little bit of soft padding so you didn't hurt your feet when you were going for a run. But the only thing you're doing now is running your mouth online about these ugly ass barefoot shoes. If your feet are bothering you that much, go for a walk outside in the grass. Go to the park. But don't be walking around. Another thing I don't like, I'm trying to wrap this up, but now they're really just kind of coming to me, and I am obliged to repeat them as they come to me. I don't like when people do their skincare and I see them take the little dropper and put it directly onto the skin. Whoa, 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 back up. Come on. Let's warm the product up between our hands. Let's have a little bit of class and dignity when we use the hyaluronic acid. You know, I just don't like seeing the drops from the dropper directly onto the cheeks. It's just not becoming. And I think I'll end with this one. My last pet peeve that is just top of mind is Elf on a Shelf. I just don't like that guy. He got a weird face and he's got soft legs. And his arms are too long. And you're not supposed to touch him? I don't know. I never did Elf on a Shelf. And I don't like him. He doesn't seem trustworthy. I don't like the idea of what he stands for, which I don't even know what he stands for. I just don't like that thing. Don't like Elf on a Shelf, which I think is the perfect way to end this episode of the podcast by Adam Rippon. I am Adam Rippon, as stated earlier in this episode. Thank you for listening. Please leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you listen to your podcasts on. Subscribe to our show. And if you want to call and leave us a voicemail, you can at 310-909-7117. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast, and we'll see you here next time.